back in the 60s or 70s, as I was trying to recall last night, there was a song some of you I know have heard. I'm not trying to reveal your age, but at any rate, the song was called Signs. In this song, the singer was singing about, and I forget the name of the group, was singing about signs all around. Everybody caught trespassing would be shot on sight. Long-haired, hippie-type people need not apply. You know, the signs of the 60s and 70s. The chorus or goes, signs, signs everywhere, signs blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? And they were singing all about how our world has become a world of signs. Everywhere you turn, there's a sign telling you to do something or not to do something. But there's a lot of value in our society in having signs. Signs give us direction, and signs give us order. Signs warn us. Signs give us identification. I mean, imagine our world today without signs. And I know there are a lot of people that don't obey the signs, but imagine if there were no signs and it was just up to us to decide who was to go first at the intersection and what speed we were to drive and so forth. Signs about driving, signs about living, signs about weather. There's all kinds of signs. Signs are all around us. We've heard the cliches that if something happens, we say, well, it's a sign of the times. We hear a lot of people saying, no, that's a sign spring's coming. The other day I was walking along a creek and those little things were popping up out of the curly things were coming up out of the soil there. They're sort of a reddish maroon color, that you know, the skunk cabbage as it comes out. According to Ned Smith in his book Gone for the Day, you can actually eat those things. Be careful if you do, because he says in one of his stories that it made his wife and his tongue and their mouths numb for a while. At any rate, it is a sign spring's coming. They don't come up in the wintertime. They don't come up in the fall. They come up in the spring. So it was a sign spring's coming. In the New Testament, Jesus criticized the Pharisees and the way that they dealt with signs. He said to them, you know, you guys see all the signs. You look at the sky and you can tell whether it's going to storm or not, whether it's going to be a fair day. You see all these other signs, but yet you're ignoring the signs that the kingdom of God is at hand. You can't recognize the signs before you, as he criticized the Pharisees. So when we look at the life of Jesus, it's evident that Jesus' life was meant not only to be an example for us, but to be a sign of his identity. Because, folks, that is what we are all about as Christians, following Jesus Christ, his identity, and then our identity as a result of believing in him. Much like the signs of our day and their purpose to direct us and order us and to warn us and identify, Jesus' life was and is one divine sign from God. In John's Gospel, if you read through John's Gospel is all about Jesus' sign miracles. You read through the Gospel of John, there was teaching, and then there was a reaction from the group that he was teaching. Then there was more teaching, then a reaction or a response. And the things that Jesus did throughout John's Gospel were miracles and signs to the people to identify that he was the Son of God, that he was divine in the flesh, because he was doing things that only God could do. Okay, so they were signs of his identity, who he really was. And what causes chaos and loss of direction in life is often because we don't pay attention to the signs from God. If you've ever been in a foreign country, you know how hard it is to read road signs. You have to be able to speak the language and understand what those signs mean. Some countries we drive on the left side of the road instead of the right, and we have to understand before we can progress in life. And it's the same in religion. And one of the great things about Christianity is we have the signs to follow. In our text today, we find the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we've come to know as Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. This story is found in all four Gospels, so it tells us it's an important story. There's something here for us to grasp and to cling to as Christians in our faith. Matthew says this took place to fulfill what was spoken of through the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 9. John says, as it is written, this happened as it is written, as we read about him. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, he said to them, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we Christians preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. You see, this was what was so important to the Jewish people, the Jewish culture, were signs. All through the Old Testament, we see that God presented himself in miraculous things and protection of his people through signs and things that happened. This was a sign to the people, or these were signs to the people, that God was present in their lives and that he was real and he even existed at all. And there's a big difference between signs from God and coincidences. You see, those who worship many gods, gods of stone, gods of wood, gods of metals, get no response from God, and there's no signs from their gods that he's real. But our God has made himself real in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How many of you remember in Luke chapter 2, the angels said to the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus' life was just simply a great big sign and continues to be a sign for us today of who he is, what he has done, what he can do, and what he promises to all who follow him. In our text today, we find Jesus having just come from Zacchaeus' house in Jericho. Now, Luke, remember, was a doctor, so when Luke writes his gospel, you notice an emphasis on people in the story and their response and reaction to Jesus and how Jesus puts things in proper perspective. Okay? It tells us in our reading today, Jesus went on ahead going to Jerusalem, and he was approaching Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. Now, this was outside of Jerusalem, and he sent two of his disciples and said, go ahead and into the village here and find a colt and untie the colt and bring it here. Those who were sent ahead did do that, and as they were untying the colt, the owner said, why are you untying that colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. Now, first we see in Luke's gospel the faith of the disciples. Jesus said to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. He gave them directions. They didn't question him. They just went and did it and found it just as Jesus had said. You see, signs invoke our faith. Signs stir our faith. When something happens in our lives that we suspect is Jesus working in our lives, it stirs up our faith, and we're making choices subconsciously. We're either going to obey or we're not. We're either going to believe or we're not going to believe. In this case, the disciples, as Luke shows us, didn't question. They didn't ask why. They didn't ask where. They went ahead. They found it just as Jesus had said. So we see the faith of the disciples. Secondly, they brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it, and he went along. And as he did, the people spread their cloaks on the road ahead of him. You see the faith of the people. Here comes Jesus, this prophet, this great prophet, coming into Jerusalem. Now, there would not have been tens of thousands of people lining this road, as you might see in the movies. And folks, one of the things that we really have to be careful of this time of year, all the movies that are and all the shows that are coming out on Jesus and on God, we need to be very, very cautious. Everything you watch, everything you read, everything you hear, turn to this. If it does not agree in here, then you know that it is not truth. And boy, don't they like to embellish the biblical stories. If you've ever watched the Ten Commandments and other movies, you know. But at any rate, the disciples and the followers of Jesus were lining the road. And many of them were coming out of the city as they heard Jesus was coming. They probably read their texts and probably looked on Facebook and found out he was coming. And ran out along the road to meet Jesus. So we start to see the reactions of the people. When Jesus came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Why? For all the miracles they had seen. In the King James Version, it says, for all the mighty works that they had seen. We see the reaction of the people was based on what they had seen. So the disciples, in faith in what they had not seen, went in and got the donkey. The other believers came out based on what they had seen. But still, the reception is the same. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And we see now, thirdly, as Luke shows us, the rejection by the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. Well, in John's Gospel, it tells us their reaction. At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Let me see, make sure I have this right for you this morning. The crowd that was with Jesus when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So you see, these were the people that had seen things like him raising Lazarus from the dead. But the Pharisees now were rejecting Jesus. They were saying, tell your disciples to be quiet. Tell them to stop this. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it that they were crying out like this to Jesus. And as a result, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known of this day what would bring that would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They'll not leave one stone on another. Why? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. In other words, what Jesus is saying, as a result of not following the signs, they were going to experience destruction. They were going the wrong way and were headed for a crash. Well, this actually happened in 70 AD under Titus when the Romans came in and destroyed the city and tore down the temple. In our Christian story today, Palm Sunday stirs up a lot of things in us. It reminds us that being a Christian is all about faith or rejection in who Jesus was. Jesus is and was a sign to be heeded and obeyed, a sign to follow lest the enemy overtake us and destroy us. This was the purpose of who Jesus was and what he did and what he taught. Because as a fulfillment of prophecy, validating God's promises, we in faith trust and draw near to God. I want you to think about this a little bit. All through the Old Testament, God gave his promises. He gave prophecies of what was going to happen, what was going to come for the people. Release of the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, the lame will walk. All these things were going to happen. The Old Testament prophecies from God through the prophet said that this king that they were waiting on would come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in peace. And as Jesus lived out his life, every single day there were things that validated who he really was, and still people rejected him. And what is the real glory in all this is that it revealed to them and reveals to us that God's word is truth.
God's word is truth. What God said happened and happens still. So we can trust God's word. This is unique to Christianity. Because people say, that's what your book says. We believe our book. And it's your book against our book. Absolutely it is. What are you going to have faith in? Our God revealed Himself and reveals Himself still today in the living Jesus. And that He still comes marching onto the scene of our lives in all kinds of circumstances. And we make the conscious decision, are we going to lay before Him and bow before Him, or are we going to reject Him? You see, because that's what Christianity is all about. Faith. Faith. And when we have faith, then our eyes are open. You see, He said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, now you're not going to be able to see. You've blinded yourself because you won't believe. And that's what rejection does. It blinds us. When we say, no, Jesus is not the Savior, I choose to believe something else, we literally blind ourselves. And Jesus weeps about that. Imagine the millions of people in this world that Jesus is weeping over this day because they've chosen other gods and other religions. You see, in other religions, they pray to idols. They pray to all kinds of other gods. But their religion is not God-focused. It's self-centered. In our religion, in Christianity, we're God-focused. In the fact that in Jesus Christ, in His coming in peace, His willful sacrifice on the cross for our lives, rising from the dead and being seen by thousands of people afterwards is a validation that God's word is true. Now I ask those others, what's your validation that your book is true? Prove it to me. You see, there it was right before everybody, a sign of the times, a sign that the kingdom had come, a sign that what God said was being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. And there was a sign that they were blind. They rejected the signs that were right before them. And God was neither glorified, and Jesus ended up being crucified. I want you to think about something. There the people were saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar? When Jesus came into the world, the heavenly host sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom His favor rests. Think about the correlation here in the truth of our word. Of God's word that we believe. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, I tell you that if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out. He's referring to the prophecies in Habakkuk 2, chapter 11, in which tells us the woe to all those who try to build their little kingdoms based on their own works. And that's what he was saying to them. That's what he was saying to them. This kingdom does not come on the works of people. And woe to you Pharisees who are trying to build your little kingdoms on your own works. Okay, it was a reference to the Jewish scriptures. All creation, folks, all creation cries out God's glorious signs. It cries out God's glorious signs. Paul said to the Romans, but God has revealed Himself to everyone, to all humanity, just and simply in the creation itself, that God cries out. He's literally crying out in all these glorious signs that He really exists and He desires to be in a relationship with us. So I just want to say this morning, may we follow all of God's signs
gates of Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the tomb, and to resurrection and eternal life, where a place has been prepared for us. The signs are there all along our journey. They're there. And the question is, are we going to follow them and obey them? Or are we just going to go blasting through, ignoring all the signs, on our way to our spiritual and eternal wreck? Let's pray. God, sometimes